for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This tape is tape B of Wednesday afternoon, June 23, 1982. It is also tape 3 of this series of Mind and Emotion by Frank Hammond.
But you know, King Saul had some problems, didn't he? He had some bad problems. He committed some sins in his life, and things began to get out of control in his life and in his emotions. Now, if you'll read the account in 1 Samuel 16, 17, and 18, you're going to find out that Saul followed the same old pattern that most people fall into, the same one that Cain fell into. When he sinned, it really wasn't his fault. Now, God told him, he said, you go destroy the Amalekites and destroy King Agag and everything that lives and breathes over there among the Amalekites because judgment is due. You go and fulfill the commission of the Lord. Well, you know, he came back and he brought Agag and he brought the cattle and the sheep, and Samuel confronted him. And when Samuel confronted him that he hadn't been obedient to the Lord, then he was kind of appalled at what Samuel was accusing him of. Well, I've done everything the Lord told me to do. But he had rebelled. He had sinned against God. Now, he got a problem with David then. You know, his problem was with the people. Well, the people, they're the ones that wanted to bring the animals back. You know, I was just going along with them. And then when God began to bless David and the ladies began to sing about David killing his 10,000s and Saul only killed 1,000, well, he got jealous. Now, jealousy is another emotion. Now, see, when Saul committed these sins, the problem with Saul was that he didn't see his need to repent of emotional sins, of anger and jealousy. And sometimes the saints of God have overlooked the importance of repentance from sins of emotions. It is a sin to be depressed. It is a sin to be unhappy. It is a sin to be filled with self-pity. We need to repent of those sins to the Lord and say, God, forgive me. And a lot of us haven't done that. We need to do that, saints. We need to be honest before the Lord. Their sin. See, if Saul had repented and obeyed God, everything would have been fine. He would have been restored in relationship with God, and so will we. But instead he said, it's the people, it's not me. Or it's David. It's his fault. And so when he started blaming David, then he got filled not only with jealousy, but he got filled with hatred, and his heart was filled with murder, and he kept chasing David and pursuing David with his army, trying to overtake David and capture him and kill him. He had murder in his heart. His emotions had got him all out of control. Then what happened to King Saul? King Saul became paranoid. He became mentally ill. He was insanely jealous. You see the kind of road we're down. We can't fool with these things because it just leads to a worsened condition. Many people are like King Saul, and they're filled with mental illness because of the sins they've committed and the resultant guilt that they have in their life. You know, one big root spirit that we're dealing with as we minister to people these days is that old root of guilt. Root of guilt because of past sins and transgressions that never have really been dealt with completely before the Lord. Now, the undisciplined emotions can cause us to get into the flesh and to act in the flesh rather than to be led and controlled by the Spirit of God. The devil knows, for example, that if he can get you in enough fear, he can control your life and get you to do the wrong thing. If you get scared enough, you're going to do the wrong thing rather than do God's thing. You know, Elijah, a great prophet of God. My, what boldness Elijah had. Feeling all alone, the only one left as far as he knew, that was still faithful to God and hadn't bent their knee to Baal. Of course, there were some others, but he didn't see them. And he went up on Mount Carmel, and he called all the people of Israel together and said, all right, I've challenged you to decide today who is God. If Baal's God, then worship him. But if Jehovah is God, then serve him. And so he called in the 450 prophets of Baal and said, all right, we're going to have a showdown. And we're going to decide who is God, whether your God Baal is God or whether my God Jehovah is God or not. And you know what Elijah did on Mount Carmel. In the contest, that was a long day. With those prophets of Baal jumping around and shrieking and crying out and cutting themselves with knives and knocking the altar over and all the rest of it. And then Elijah had to come and get the altar rebuilt and have the water brought up from the sea and poured over the sacrifice. And he had to call down fire from God. But he got the victory, didn't he? He got the victory, and the fire fell, and the victory was won, and the rain began to come. He saw the clouds coming, told everybody, you better take shelter, here comes the rainstorm. And then it was that the word came from Queen Jezebel, I'm going to get you. I'm going to do to you what you did to my prophets. I'm going to take a sword and cut your head off. Fear entered into Elijah, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran. All day long, he'd been following the Spirit. He'd been walking in the Spirit. But all of a sudden, fear came in, and the fear, emotion of fear, took place over the Spirit man within him. And rather than to seek God's guidance, and to seek God's strength, and to seek God's blessing, he ran out of emotion. The emotion of fear. Now, the devil knows when you're weak. Elijah had had a long, hard day. He was tired. But he wasn't too tired to run a long ways. That fear put adrenaline going all over his body, didn't it? Well, I feel that we see the point. And we see the purpose of the illustration. Of how that our own emotions will control us unless we rule over those emotions and put down fear. We were in Nehemiah. Let's go back to Nehemiah just a moment. This time let's go to the 6th chapter of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah now has gone back and he's in the business of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And there are some fellows back there, Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and those guys, you know, that didn't approve of what Nehemiah was doing. They were the enemy. And so they begin to try to minister fear to Nehemiah. They call him in for a conference. They said, Nehemiah, we want you to come in and let's talk this thing over. And what they were going to do, they were going to just really lay it on Nehemiah. And he knew that. See, he was following the Lord. And he says, you just go tell those guys I don't have time to fool with them. I don't have time to come to their meeting. That I'm doing a great work for the Lord. But those men did not cease to try to harass Nehemiah. They began to try to minister fear and intimidation to him in other ways. Verse 7 says, and thou hast also anointed prophets to preach of thee in Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. In other words, they said, we got word that you're trying to elevate yourself to become a king, and that's the reason you're building Jerusalem, so you can become king over it. And what's the king back up yonder that's in charge of this land that sent you down here? We're going to send word back to him, and you're going to be in trouble. So see, they tried to minister fear to him through that tactic of deceit. Going on down in verse 9, it says, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it is not done. So they began to spread rumors. Well, these people can't build that wall. There's too few of them. The task is too big. There's no way that they can accomplish that mission to try to minister fear of failure to them. So they kept on talking to Nehemiah. Then they brought a false prophet before him. And this false prophet told Nehemiah, on down in another verse there, that he said, why don't you run in the temple and hide in the temple? You know, you better get up because these fellows are going to come get you. They're going to kill you. You better run for refuge and you better hide in the temple. But see, he couldn't go in the temple. He couldn't go in behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. He was forbidden. That would have been sin. That would have been instant death for Nehemiah. And he knew that. He said, you go tell those fellows I'm just going to keep on working and I can't have got time to bother with them and I'm not going to run and hide. See, he kept getting victory over that pressure upon him to cause him to fear. Verse 13, and there... therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have a matter of evil to report, that they might reproach me. So Nehemiah overcame every effort and every temptation of the enemy to cause him to fear which would cause him in turn not to obey God and not to follow the directions of the Spirit of God in his life. Now, here where we get into our problems with fear and corresponding emotions, when they begin to rule, and when those emotions begin to rule, then we are moved out of faith. Have you noticed that you cannot stand in fear and faith at the same time? The psalmist knew that. He said, at what time I am afraid, I will trust in God. When fear begins to move in him, he will begin to counter that with trust until he overcomes that fear that's moved into his life. We must stand in faith. You know, we used to sing the old hymn, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And there is so much truth in that old hymn. There is no other way. Trust and obedience are keys to happiness in the spiritual life. And fear and emotional upheaval will take us away from both faith and obedience, causing us to get out of the will of God, out of the ways and the purposes of God, and the spirit man within us will be defeated. We must decide to discipline our emotions. That's what I'm working for. That's my goal with each one of you here today. That you will make a quality decision. What I mean by quality decision, a decision that you'll not back off of. You will make an everlasting decision. A decision that my emotions will be controlled. They will be disciplined. And the motivation for the discipline of the emotions is what you lose if they're not. You lose the rulership of the spirit man and the leadership of God's Holy Spirit in your life. Just take a good look at what undisciplined emotions have done to you or done to others that are around you. See the ones who have become immobilized. You know, some people sleep excessively. They don't want to get up in the morning and face new responsibilities or old problems. They'll keep their head under the cover and hide and think, well, as long as I can stay in bed, I can escape all of those unpleasant things around me. See, emotions cause people to run away and try to escape in a lot of foolish ways. To go to sleep or to escape through alcohol or to escape through drugs or to escape through fantasy. But those don't cure anything. Cast all of your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. The next verse says, for the devil as a roaring lion roameth about, seeking whom he may devour. If we don't cast our cares on the Lord, if we don't let the Lord settle the upheavals in our life, and we don't really trust in God and come into peace, then the devil is on the prowl, and that's who he's looking for. He's roaming about as a roaring lion, seeking those who are not trusting in God and do not have disciplined emotions. And they're the ones that are captured by the enemy. It's no fun to be unhappy, is it? I hope you don't enjoy being miserable. But that's what unruly emotions will do to you. You see, if your emotions are unruly, it will knock you plumb out of the kingdom of God. Romans 14:17 says, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, that's what you experience when you're enjoying kingdom living. You mean I'm supposed to be that like that now? Yes, sir. You're supposed to have righteousness and joy and peace. Because that's not dependent upon what's happening. That's dependent upon your relationship with God. And that's kingdom living. When you're in the kingdom and Jesus is Lord over your life, you can't be in the kingdom unless you've got a king. When you're in his kingdom, then he's king. He's Lord. He's directing your life. He's protecting you. He's providing you. He's your everything. He's your rock. He's your refuge. He's your fortress. He's your mighty God. He's the whole thing. And so you start enjoying the benefits of having Jesus as king. You know, the scripture says that we become bond slaves. We become slaves of the Lord as his true followers. When we commit to his lordship, we become slaves and he becomes master. You know the beautiful part of that is that once Jesus becomes master, he becomes responsible for you. A slave who had a master, his master was responsible to see that he got fed, that he had a place to sleep, that all of his needs were taken care of. That's the blessing we have by being the slaves of the Lord. Being his servants and being citizens in his kingdom, that puts Jesus fully responsible for. You think he's able to do it? You think he has the equipment to take care of us? You think he has the love to do it? Hallelujah. That's where our faith rests. According to your faith, be it unto you. You know, another thing we need to look at as far as emotions are concerned, we need to look at what other people's emotions do to us. How other people's undisciplined and unruly emotions affect our own lives. I've seen parents that had unruly children. Children that just would get out in the floor and kick and have a first-class temper fit. You know why kids do that? To control mama and daddy. You know, people will use emotions to control other people. Now, I'm crying. Can't you see me crying? Since I'm crying, you got to let me have what I need, what I want. See, you have to be alert to people, whether it's children or grown people, that try to control us through their emotional displays. We need to recognize mama's pouting and what it's all about. We need to recognize daddy's temper and what it's all about. We need to recognize our girlfriend's crying and what that's all about, so we won't be controlled by the emotions of others. Stay in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Obey the Spirit. Don't be controlled by somebody else. Do what the Lord wants you to do. And then sometimes other people's upheavals upset us. They get angry, we get angry. You know, God wants us to be thermostats rather than thermometers. All a thermometer does, a thermometer just registers the temperature in the room where it is. But the thermostat controls the temperature in the room. God doesn't want you to just register and identify on the same level with what else is going on around you. He wants you to be in spiritual authority in the environment where you live. Be a thermostat and not just a thermometer. Well, if you become upset, then you're not stable. You know, if we pastors got upset every time one of our members got upset, we'd stay upset all the time. And some of us want us to get upset every time they get upset. They try to make us upset. But you just got to know that you've got to follow the Lord and stay stable in your life and your emotions. I found out, you know, when I first got into deliverance ministry, I hadn't had any myself. That's a bad shape to be in, trying to minister. I didn't know I needed any. You know, I thought everybody else needed it. And when I get to ministering to people and counsel, sometimes they would get all shook up, and you know, I found myself getting shook up. I found myself yelling at people. I just wanted to get a hold of them and get them by the nape of the neck and just shake them. I mean, I got mad, I got upset. And I thought that over, and I said, my goodness, I'm acting worse than they are. And I had to get delivered, and I had to get stabilized. I found out I couldn't minister to anybody else until I got stabilized myself. Because we try to help other people, and other people are in upheaval, other people are in storms. And if their storm causes us to have a storm, then it renders us useless as far as trying to help them is concerned. Oh, glory to God. Well, I'm trying to lay a lot on you today. Y'all seem to be soaking it up pretty good. Now, to discipline and protect our emotions, we must, wherever possible, avoid those things which unsettle our emotions. You know, some people just court things that upset them emotionally. You know, for example, music affects you emotionally. I guess I'm weird or something when it comes to music, but, you know, all my life, I never have been able to adjust to what they call long-haired music. These operas and classical music, all that stuff. I know what a time I had when I was going to college, and the dormitory I lived was open dormitories. They just had little cubicles and all the sound from down the hall. And the kids on the weekends, you know, they'd all want to listen to those operas. I couldn't stay in the building with that stuff. It depressed me. Well, I'm not necessarily saying that's wrong. I don't know yet how to judge all of that. But I can say this. Music does affect you. It affects your emotion. It affects your behavior. See, a lot of people have been listening to, you know, sometimes I turn on my radio. I just got to where I can't have much use for a radio. It's just got so much garbage on it. And you turn it on, you try to get a weather report or a news report or something, and here's all these old ballads, you know, where some fellas run off with somebody else's wife and all that kind of stuff. And you listen to that music on there, it's terrible. It's terrible. It affects you emotionally. You have to be careful what you listen to. It really has a bearing upon you. You have to be careful what you watch. You know, I was so blessed when I heard that our Christian Broadcasting Network was going to come out with Christian drama, Christian soap opera. Oh, I tell you, I thought, man, what a blessing that's going to be. And you know, I've been delivering people from spirits that came into them from watching that thing. It's written by the same people that wrote the others. And it ministers the same demons to them. It ministers lust and immorality and unfaithfulness and discontent and depression and all the rest of it. There's a young woman in our own fellowship that a while back, she came to me and she had grown discontent with her husband. She said, "My husband is just not able to show the affection and love for me that I need." And she was really on to her husband. And as she was talking, the Lord says she'd been watching that CBN soap opera. And I said, "Have you been watching that soap opera?" And she said, "Uh-huh." I said, "I thought I told you once before not to watch that thing," because she's so vulnerable to those things. And she'd watch that thing, you know, and they present the worldly one on there as the one, you know, that's having all the fun and getting all the glory and everything. And the one that's supposed to be spiritual is some old humdrum washed out some kind of a Christian. They don't talk about the Lord. They may make a casual reference one time to praise or to prayer or something like that, but it's very, very low key. Now, say, we got to use some stuff. There are things that we can watch that will minister to us. I'm not going to sit down and watch some old sad story on television and sit there and cry over somebody's fantasy, somebody's old make-believe story. I think too much of my emotion to surrender them to that careless kind of use that's going to rob my emotions and deplete my emotions and wash me out emotionally. If that's a hard saying, I pray that God will show you. Glory to God. The devils are coming in right through those doors when our emotions are opened like that. God's even had to deal with me about sports. Boy, I tell you, I would watch that football game, and when the team was going this way, I'd lean and strain that way. And going this way, I'd lean and strain the other way. By the time that game was over, I was tireder than any fellow on the football field. I watched those boxing, and I'd kill him, boy, knock him out, kill him, and I was in there. God had to show me what I was doing to my emotions. We have to protect our emotions, saints. If we don't, the devil's going to get in through those doors. Grief, sorrow. You know, when we lose a loved one, I've lost my parents by death, and Ida Mae's lost her parents and a sister by death, and we've had to deal with those things. The Scripture says, "Sorrow not even as others who have no hope." There is a place, there is a time for some grief because it's just a natural emotion. But when those emotions are carried on, and when those emotions are kept alive, then's when we run into problems. Like the woman who has become widowed and her husband has died, and she feels so responsible to do something special to remember him on his birthday or on their anniversary or other special occasions, to keep alive that grief in the heart. We've even had to tell people who've lost loved ones, take those pictures of those dead lost ones out of your bedroom. Take them off of your walls and off of those dressers. Get them out of there. Because that thing has kept that grief and that sorrow alive. It's just on and on and on. And some people have continued. They feel like, well, I have to be loyal to that one who is deceived. And I have to keep those feelings alive. I have to keep that grief alive. That's not God. That's not God. And the devil wants you to do those things that will protect your emotions. We've had to deliver people from spirits of grief and sorrow and heartache because of the death of a loved one that occurred 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. And that old grief, a spirit of grief, still lingering on. We said you got to get rid of some of those things that stir up that thing in your memory. God wants us to be free. God has called us to peace. Hallelujah. Well, other things work on the emotions. Drugs do. All kinds of drugs. I'm not talking just about illegal drugs, marijuana and heroin and all of that, but, you know, a lot of medications we take have their bearing on our emotions. I started getting off of medications years ago, and, you know, I found out if I even took an aspirin or a Tylenol, it would just vibrate my body. God got me off of caffeine. I couldn't fast because when I was drinking coffee or drinking tea or cola drinks or something like that, tried to fast, I'd get a headache when I left it off. So I started leaving it off. Then I found out that after my body got rid of that poison out of my system, that when I take just a little bit of that, how it would stir my emotions and stir my nervous system. Well, how pure is pure? Are you willing to submit everything in your life that would be disturbing your emotions and upsetting you? Submit it to God and say, "God, I'm willing to obey you. I'm willing to do whatever I need to do in order that I can be free and walk in the liberty of the Spirit of God." Well, one of the things we need to do is to repent. We have to face everything that needs correcting in our motion. We have to apply the correct spiritual discipline, the correct spiritual solution to that particular problem that we're having. Sometimes it requires repentance. Sometimes the discipline requires forgiveness. You know, that's such a simple thing to do, is to forgive somebody else. But so many people are distraught and upset and filled with anger and remorse and resentment and bitterness, which are emotional upheavals, and all they've got to do is forgive the one that hurt them. You know, God's got such pretty answers to our problems. It's just amazing the simplicity of God's wisdom. Sometimes all we need to do is trust in God. I've had people that have struggled to trust in God with their finances. And they come to me and they say, "Oh, Brother Frank, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't have money to live. And here's all the things that I'm going to be responsible for, all the bills I'm going to have to pay, and this is all the income I have, and you can see from this list here that I don't have near enough income to pay all those bills that are coming up this month and next month. Oh, Brother Frank, what I'm going to do?" And they get all upset, begin to worry, and be filled with anxiety and fear. And I'd say, "Well, you're going to have to trust in God." Got to be a talk in our fellowship back at home. People had a problem. They said, "Well, there's no need to go talk to Brother Frank. Said all he's going to tell you is just trust in God." Well, that's the best advice I know to give. Just trust in God. Believe God. It's a simple remedy for some of the problems we have. It's amazing how you trust in God, the peace that will come to your heart. Sometimes the answer is to rejoice. Re is a prefix which means again. To rejoice means to joy all over again. See, if you want your battery built up when it's run down, you recharge the battery. You know, when your joy begins to get down low, your battery of joy begins to play out, doesn't have much power in it, then you rejoice. You rejoice by praising God. So do whatever is necessary to get the victory. Above all things, don't just sit there and wait for those emotions to subside. Just say, "Well, it'll blow over after a while. You know, I got over it before. I'll just kind of wait a day or two or a week or two or a month or two until I just sort of get over this thing." No, don't wait for it to go over. God's given you spiritual. You don't have to go on in that misery day after day. And don't just suppress it. Now, some people, when they get upset, they just push it down on the inside. There are a lot of people that are smiling on the outside who are crying on the inside, because all they've done is just push down their problems and they're putting on a false face. "Everything's fine. Nothing's bothering me." But the ulcer is starting, because the problem really hasn't been solved. Some people can become stoic. They say, "I'm not going to let my emotions rule. I'm not going to let my emotions show." So they just become like steel. And something happens where they need to show emotion unto the Lord, and they can't do it because they have killed the emotions within themselves. Those are incorrect ways for us to deal with our emotions. Well, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty now. I think we got enough devil scared up to where we can have some deliverance. The Lord says, let's break the chains of bondage from off of our emotions. Let's break the chains of bondage from our feelings. Now, here's some of the things we want to break as far as emotional bondages are concerned. Maybe you want to check some of these off on your own list. Fear, worry, anxiety, torment, depression, hopelessness, despair, defeat, discouragement, death wish. "I wish I was dead. I wish I never had been born. I think I'll take my life." Nervousness, tension, anger, violence, temper, sensitiveness to what other people say, how other people look at you, what other people do. Jealousy, envy. See, all of these are bonds to the emotions. Bonds to the emotions. Hatred, bitterness, and unforgiveness in those spirits. Moods, old temperamental spirits. Rejection, grief, sorrow, heartache, hurt, crying, false compassion. That's a compassion that the devil, it's a deceptive compassion. You know, we're to have compassion on others. But forever the devil is trying to make us feel responsible for somebody that we have no business taking responsibility for, because we are not yet strong enough to help those people. And the devil tries to get us involved with people compassionately and in responsibility to get us into a pit. Then there are spirits of impatience, frustration, intolerance. Pride is an emotion. Insecurity, self-awareness, timidity, shyness, self-pity, just to mention a few things. Hallelujah. Two things the Lord has for us: deliverance and discipline. Two D's. You can remember two D's? Deliverance. You know, if you have something that's pressing in on your emotions, and you haven't been able to, you've exercised your spiritual authority and you've done what you could, you've tried your praise and you've tried the positive confession and all the good things you've known to do and still hadn't got victory, then's the time to go for the devil. Then's the time to chase that demon out. A lot of times people haven't been able to get the victory because that old demon is still there, gnawing away and rebuilding and re-talking to you and all of that. Then when he's out, all that's left is you and yourself and the need to discipline your emotions. So you have to give yourself to that. Deliverance is not an instant snap of the finger cure-all for all your emotional problems. But it's a step. It's a giant step in that direction. Once that demon is out, when you discipline your mind and discipline your emotions, then you're going to begin to walk and live perpetually in the peace and the joy that God bought for you through Christ Jesus when He died on Calvary. That's part of your inheritance. And if you settle for less than that, you've settled for less than the best that's available to you. Glory to God. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. Feels good to stand up, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Sit too long, your emotions will get sick too, won't they? You get irritable. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just quietly worship the Lord a few moments. Let's just tune our hearts with the Lord. Let's just be in prayer. Just in prayer. Just let the Lord know where you are. Let Him know the desire of your heart. Thank the Lord for uncovering needs that are in your life today and giving you assurance that He is here to bless you, to minister to you, to help you. Just worship and thank the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we praise You and thank You because of Your goodness to us. Hitherto have You led us, Lord. You have saved us. You've ministered life to us. And You've shown us Your ways and opened up the treasure house of Your Word to us that we might receive Your instruction, that we might walk fully in the blessings that You have acquired for us. Lord, we're Your children. We're the people of the kingdom of God, and we claim our blessing and we claim our inheritance today in You, Lord. God, I pray for the people assembled here today. You know our heart's needs, Lord. You know the needs of our lives. And if we've talked about the emotions today, God, You know how many have desperately cried out to You for help. And Lord, we would not in anything that we say bring any reproach or any condemnation whatsoever upon anyone who has come short of the best that You have for them. For Lord, we've all been in that boat together. And we're here to love one another. We're here to support one another. We're here to encourage one another and to edify one another. Lord, just let the Spirit of Your love permeate this room now. Let the Spirit of Your love, the presence of Your love come, Lord, that we might have that assurance knowing that our spirit now is in touch with Your spirit and the things that we need are met in You. Oh God, let our faith rise up now to claim the promise. Let our faith rise up to know that we can tread upon serpents and scorpions and put them soundly upon our feet in defeat, and yet we can stand triumphant without being scathed in the battle. Let us have the assurance and hope in our heart that even now there is victory for us, and that we can confess it in the name of Jesus. Because we can see those things which are to come even as though they are already present. Through our faith, Lord, we receive the full blessing that we need today for the healing of the inner man. Lord, where people have been wounded, where people have been scarred, where people have been abused and hurt, God, I ask that right now the Spirit of God begin to move to bring forth healing in their hearts, healing in their lives. where there have been such serious altercations between husbands and wives and other members within the families, Lord, and where very cruel and hurtful words have been spoken. Lord, we cast those words out of our memory. We forgive those who have trespassed against us, and we receive the healing balm of God into our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for those who have been sick in their nervous systems, and their nerves have been so raw, and their nerves have been on edge. God, heal those nerves right now. Heal them and make them strong right now, Jesus, and restore them, Lord. Where the emotions have been damaged and bruised, Lord, and people have been cast into pits of emotional darkness, and where they've been carried through tranquilizers and drugs into a strange land, Lord, we just pray for restoration and healing today of all of those emotions, Lord. God, you see those who have had fear, who've been ruled by fear. God, that spirit is not of you, but it is a spirit. And you've given us your power and love and soundness of mind. Thank you, Lord, for victory over fear today. Thank you for victory over fear. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Make a confession and prayer with me, saints. Lord Jesus, I confess my love for you and acknowledge your love for me. Your word tells me that even while I was a sinner, you loved me and gave yourself for me. I receive your love because your love brings forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness of love. Lord, you know my needs. You know the needs of my emotions. And you've said that you have healing for me and deliverance for me. I receive your promise today. I accept your healing. I accept your deliverance. I'll no longer walk as a prisoner of my emotions. I am not bound to my past life. I am not a prisoner of past sins or of past weaknesses. My life is now centered in you. I'm standing on the rock, that rock which is Christ. And I stand as a king, made so by the Lord to rule and reign in this life. I exalt the spirit man within me and submit my spirit unto the Holy Spirit to be led by the Spirit, to be empowered by the Spirit. And I say to you, enemy, I renounce you. I take away all of the ground that I ever yielded. I take it back. You have no legal right to me. You have no power over my emotions. I renounce you. And I command you to leave. Right now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just be seated again and we'll take a few moments. We've got a little time left before chow time is ready. Try to be good stewards of the time that God gives to us. Now, we'll do just like we did here yesterday afternoon, and we'll come against these spirits that are seeking to put your emotions, a part of your personality, in bondage, to cause your emotions to work against and hinder the operation of the spirit man within you. Let's begin and let's deal with all of these spirits of fear. That's such a common thing. You know, there seems to be a specialist of fear for every kind of fear that you can name, whether it's a fear of failure, a fear of the future, or fear of saying the wrong thing, or fear of not pleasing God. There are so many kinds of fears that come along. So many family fears. Some of you are tormented today because of things that are going on in your family or things that's happened in your family. God doesn't want you to remain in fear over those things. He wants you to move out of fear into trust in Him. Let's renounce fear. Rebuke it. Command it to go. And when we command these spirits to go, remember as we did yesterday, Now, you need to do it forcefully. Now, some people will get your timidity and shyness spirit after a while, but don't be timid and shy and just do a little anemic, you know. But do it, you know, with some force to it, but stay reasonable with it. And now, the reason that those spirits come out as a breath, they're going to begin to come out, and they'll work their way up. But see, you can help to push them out. Since they come out as breath, you can help to push them out. All right? Renounce the spirits of fear. In the name of Jesus, I speak to every spirit of fear that indwells me. You are not of God. I do not want you. I do not need you. In the name of Jesus, go. Now breath. In the name of Jesus, all over this room, spirits of fear, fear of man, fear of man, I command you to go. Fear of man, you go now in Jesus' name. You go now in the name of Jesus. Fear of man, I cast you out in the name of Jesus. Fear of other people's faces. Fear of what other people say. Fear of what other people do. Fear of other men's opinions. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You counselors, just move on up through the room and help those that need help. In the name of Jesus, spirits of fear, family-related fears, I command you to go. Fears concerning children. Fears concerning rebellious and worldly children. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, fear over those children that they're going to be captured by the world. They're going to be destroyed by the devil. I command you, spirits of fear, you're not of God, you're not of faith, and I command you to go now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Women who have fears concerning their husbands. Concerning their husbands. Fear of the husband's vileness. Fear of his rebellion. Fear of his cruelty. Fear of his indifference. All fears of husband spirits, I command to go. In the name of Jesus. You go now in the name of Jesus. Fear. Fear, you must go. Fear, you must go in the name of Jesus. Every demon of fear, I cast you out. We stand against you. We stand against you, and you must leave now in the name of the Lord, in the power of Jesus' name. Fear must go. Fear must go. Fear of the future. Fear of the future. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to me? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Lord says not to be anxious about what another day shall bring forth. The needs of the day are enough for today. We don't have to project in the future and imagine things. The old imaginary fears. The old what if spirit. The old fear of what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if he doesn't do that? What if he does do that? In the name of Jesus, you what if fear spirit. Fear of the future. Fear of what might come. Fear of tragedy. Fear of tragedy. Fear of hurt. Fear of accident. I command you to go. Fear of sickness. Fear of death. I command every one of you demons of fear. You leave us. You loose us now. In the power of Jesus' name. In the power of Jesus' name. You will not control our emotions. You will not control our emotions. The fear of failure must go. The fear of failure must go in the name of Jesus. The religious fears must go. Religious fears. Fears of losing salvation. Fears of missing the rapture. Fears of the judgment of God. Fears of the second coming of Christ. Fear of not being ready when Christ comes. In the name of Jesus, fear of tribulation. Fear of tribulation, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Fear of tribulation, I command you to go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every one of you must leave us now. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. More spirits are being hurt. Fear that somebody's going to hurt you. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. You go now in the power of His name. In the power of His shed blood. Every one of you leave now in Jesus' name. You leave now in Jesus' name. Spirits of terror. Spirits of fright. The Lord's showing me that some of you went through an experience as a child when you were frightened. Somebody was going to try to pull a prank on you. And they were going to tease you, and you were frightened. And a spirit of fright has come into you, and has continued to torment you. But now, that old emotional fright spirit has to go. The spirit of fright must go. Fright and fear. Fear. I see someone, a dog's barking at you. And that fear, that dog's going to bite me. That dog's going to kill me. It's so big and I'm so little. In the name of Jesus, the fear of animals, the fear of dogs, I command you to go. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, spirits of fear, trembling fear. Sometimes your body trembles. Sometimes your flesh crawls from fear. And we command those spirits of fear to leave us and to go in the power of Jesus' name, in the power of the precious blood of Jesus. Trembling fear spirits, trembling and shaking spirits of fear, we command you to go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Now, all of you spirits of depression, despondency, glory to God, it sure feels good to get rid of that misery. You spirits of heaviness, we exchange that spirit of heaviness for the garment of praise. We put on the garment of praise and put off the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness, depression, despondency, hopelessness, death wish. We command you to go. When you've gotten so discouraged you wanted to die, breathe that thing out. Stand against it. You have spiritual authority. You have spiritual authority. Keep talking to those spirits. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. We command each one of you to leave now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. All heaviness. All depression and related spirits, I command you to go. Emotional breakdown spirits. Emotional weakness. Emotional fatigue. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Come on out. Spirits of emotional weakness. Emotional sickness. I command you to go. You leave us now in the name of Jesus. You leave us now in the name of Jesus. You must go. You must flee, enemy. You must flee the depression, the despondency, the despair, the hopelessness. It must go in the name of Jesus. It must go in the name of Jesus. The spirits of sorrow, grief, heartache, disappointment. God showing me some of you have been bitterly disappointed. Bitterly disappointed. Something that you had your hope set on. Something that you were looking forward to. And it failed. It didn't come to pass. And you suffered an emotional disappointment. I command those spirits. There were marriage disappointments. Marriage disappointments. Marriage heartaches. Marriage heartaches. Marriage grief. Marriage suffering. I command you to go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out, you evil things. That's right. Come on out. Cough on out of there. Cough on out. Burp out. Yawn out. Cry out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Fear of emotions. Fear of emotions. Go now in the name of Jesus. Fear of emotions. Go now in the name of Jesus. Fear now. You must go in the name of Jesus. Fear must go in the power of Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. From all the grief and sorrow over the death of loved ones, in the name of Jesus, you death sorrow, death grief, death heartache, I command you to go. I command you to go. From the death of parents and children, from the death of husbands and wives, we command you spirits of grief and sorrow and heartache. You cannot stay on. You cannot remain in us. We command you to leave us now in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus. By the power of the blood of Jesus. Go and keep going. Keep going now in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All you old temperamental spirits, I command you to go. You old moody spirits. Morose spirits. Discontent spirits. Come on out. Come on out from all the moods. From all the moods, we command you to go. Hallelujah. That's scriptural deliverance. And unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out. That's not the lady crying. That's those demons crying. She's getting deliverance. The demon's unhappy. Hallelujah. Let him cry. When he cries, we rejoice. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on out. Come on out. Come on out. Self-pity. 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 I command you to go. In the name of Jesus. Self-pity. The emotions of unfairness. I command you to go in Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Spirits of anger, temper spirits, I command you to go. Anger, wrath, you old devils of railing, cursing, argument, debate, strife, confusion, I command all of you to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, get off of our emotions. Our emotions belong to the Lord, and they will serve the spirit man. They will serve the spirit man. In the name of Jesus. 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 Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Go in the name of Jesus. Anger. Anger. Temper. You spirit of impatience. Impatience. Impatience, I command you to go. Impatience, intolerance, frustration. Frustration, you old frustrated emotion spirits. I command you to go now in Jesus' name. Frustration. Impatience. Intolerance. You must leave in the power of Jesus' name. You must leave in the power of Jesus' name. You must go. You will not rule us. You will not rule us. In the name of the Lord. I'd say a good 60 or 70% of you here today have some kind of problem with your nerves. And God's about to heal you and to deliver you from all those nervous problems. In the name of Jesus, I address myself, and the army of God stands against every spirit of nervousness. You raw nerve spirits, you weak nerve spirits, you frail nerve spirits, you frazzled nerve spirits, you sick nerve spirits. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. I command you to go. Get off of our nerves. Get off of our nerves. They belong to the Lord. They belong to the Lord, and you can't have them. You can't have them. Nervousness. Nervousness. Nervous tension. Nervous headache. Nervous pains. Nervous stomach. Nervous stomach spirit. I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Nervous stomach. Nervous depression. I command you to go. Go now. The feet, restlessness, restlessness, fidgety spirits, come out. Every nerve spirit from every nerve cell, every nerve fiber throughout our entire bodies, we command each one of you to leave in the name of Jesus. Nervous habit, fingernail biting, finger thumping, hair curling, in the name of Jesus, I command every one of you. Every one of you nervous spirits. Every one of you nervous spirits. In the name of Jesus, all you old facial tick spirits. Nervousness in the face, I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, you old jerking, twisting spirits. Jerking, twisting, nervous spirits. In the name of Jesus, makes our bodies twist and jerk and vibrate. I command you in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we ask in you as these spirits go, to touch every one of us in our nervous systems and let those nerves be healed. Spirits of stress and pressure, high blood pressure. Spirits of stroke. They're trying to produce a stroke in you from the pressure, from the emotional pressure, from the emotional stress, trying to bring a high blood pressure on, trying to bring other problems, physical problems into your body. In the name of Jesus. We abort the plan of the devil. We abort the plan of the devil. Satan, we abort and bring to naught your plan in the name of Jesus. We crush your serpent's head. We crush your serpent head in the name of the Lord. Spirits of jealousy, the old emotions of jealousy and envy and suspicion, I command you to go. Go, the torment of jealousy. The torment of jealousy. The fear of losing love. The fear of not being loved. The fear of rejection. Rejection. Rejection and fear of rejection. This is a root demon. This is a root demon. Stand against him with all your strength. The spirit of rejection. Fear of rejection. Self-rejection. The thing that keeps you from receiving love. It keeps you from giving love like you need to and like you want to. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Rejection. Rejection, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus, for setting us free. Thank you, Jesus, for deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. I command every spirit of embarrassment, shyness, timidity, self-awareness, self-consciousness, I command you, O tormenting emotional spirits, to leave us. Embarrassment, timidity, shyness. In the name of Jesus, you blushing spirits, I command you to go. I command you to go. In the name of Jesus, self-awareness. Those old demons that make you feel like everybody's looking at you. Everybody's talking about you. In the name of Jesus, I command you to go. Self-awareness. Self-awareness. I command you to go. Self-consciousness. Self-consciousness. You leave now. In the name of Jesus. Spirits of crying. Crying spirits. Crying spirits. Make you cry too easily, too readily. In the name of Jesus. Like your tears are just right always there on the surface. Right always there on the surface. Spirits of crying. Spirits of sadness. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Good deliverance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good deliverance. Thank you, Jesus. If you know of anything else, maybe I haven't called for it. Maybe I haven't named it. But you name it. You command it to go. Minister some self-deliverance if you know of something that's been missed. You have exactly the same power and authority that I do to cast out a demon. Maybe there's something personal with you that needs to be dealt with. Get your victory in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.